You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. So if you want to check out our website, visit smartwithyourmoney.com. And I want to welcome to studio a special guest. We have John Sprague from Keller Williams Realty. Welcome, John.
Doug, thanks so much for having me today. I'm excited to be a part of the show.
You have been on several times, and what I wanted to have you on for this time is you are a well-known economist in the area when it comes to real estate. And I don't know many true real estate economists out there, and you are one of them on a local level. So I wanted to have you on and see if we can have kind of a high-level conversation about the market, where it's been, where it's going, and let's see if we can let our listeners glean a little bit of knowledge from this.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate that, Doug. Over the last 6 years, we've been building a real estate business, and really the language of real estate is numbers, as the language of business is numbers. And so, you know, I've been a student of that, and over the last 4 to 6 weeks, have really become obsessed, not only within the real estate world, but also some of those macro level economics that are impacting us today and down the road.
Yeah, so you've been a team leader at Keller Williams. You've run your own personal real estate business. You come from the financial planning industry, I knew at one time, and you know, you are also an avid real estate investor. You've done tons of real estate investing over time, and now you help mentor investors, and you have a specialty in that for a lot of your clients.
Right. So what we're doing is we're taking all of those different experiences and really collaboratively putting it together and looking forward to helping all those real estate investors take their investment strategy to the next level.
All right. So if you didn't predict the downturn of the market, if you're listening right now and you didn't predict the downturn of the market back in 2008, you really need to listen closely, because what we're going to talk about are some of the indicators, because this has been a really hot real estate market. It may continue to be. Okay, but what are the signs that you need to watch for to make sure you not only protect yourself, okay, but then how do you make money on in the future? And John, this is something you put a lot of thought into, is how is there anything that's really called a down market, or as Gary Keller says, is it just a buyer's market or a seller's market?
You know, that's a great point. I mean, when people hear about a downshifting market or a shift in the market, it usually has a negative connotation, and I see that to be somewhat consistent. And so it's a topic a lot of folks might not want to talk about, yet there's tremendous opportunity in those downshifted markets. We were actually just talking about how the most wealth is created in that downshift. And, you know, I've done a little bit of research here over the last 4 to 6 weeks, as I was mentioning, so it doesn't make me any sort of master's degree economist, yet I'm close to the subject matter on a daily basis. I live it, I breathe it, and I've got a good enough amount of evidence that supports that it's not so much if, it's a matter of when that next shift is coming here on a local level.
Okay, so when we talk about a shift in the market, what does that really mean? What is a shift in the real estate market?
You know, and so that's really any sort of an adjustment. It could be a correction, whether up or down. If you look at it on a local level, we hit our trough, as the multiple listing service would report. We hit our trough as far as sale price valuation of homes in 2011. And we had our peak.
So that was the bottom of the market.
That was the bottom. The bottom of the market was 2011. And we actually peaked out in 2007. So we peaked in 2007, and it took us 4 years to get to the bottom. And we know on average, those cycles are between 6 and 8 years. So you're looking at 2007 would put us kind of overdue right now, Doug.
Okay, so think about that. As we hit the bottom in 2011, now we're 5 years of an upturn since that bottom. So it's 5 years of going up. And that cycle, 6 to 8 years, that's the complete cycle, typically.
Complete, yeah.
Okay, so it's due as far as the typical cycle length would go. So then the question becomes, what is it that's going to, there's always something that causes it. And where do you think the biggest risk factors are that could cause this market to go south?
Well, I'll tell you what. So Doug, that's the $64,000 question. Nobody truly knows. I think that there's a number of different powder kegs out there that could go ahead and stimulate and really trigger that event. You know, I think it does stand a reason that, first of all, you do have to have that general understanding of we are overdue, and yet it's going to take one of a number of factors. Fundamentally, something has to be awry. And so there's a couple things that we see a lot of national economists really point to. And so a couple of those things that I'll rattle off is, you know, China's a major league uncertainty out there right now, and that creates a lot of global concern. On a macro level, I'm not smart enough to know exactly how that's going to impact how much bread I can buy and milk I can buy right. tomorrow. But I know that uncertainty is not good for any market.
Right. I mean, that's the uncertainty of China. I mean, they are the second largest economy in the world now. So it's impossible for their economy to crash without there being some hangover effect that's going to happen with us.
I think it's naive to think that something would happen in that part of the world and not impact us, frankly, directly.
Right. Right. So China, we know, is a pretty big risk. What are other big risks that you see?
You know, at this point, we've got a national debt that's over $19 trillion, and that's something that is creating a lot of stresses on every level. And one of our biggest holders of that debt happens to be China.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I saw they were at $1.3 trillion not too long ago. And there's a great Saturday Night Live skit. And actually, you know what? I'm going to post a link to this skit because this was hilarious. You guys have to watch this about the Chinese president visiting with President Obama. And I don't know if you saw this, John, but it was hilarious. If you visit smartwithyourmoney.com, look for the link. I'll put for this, the SNL skit. Very funny about the Chinese leader giving us major trouble over the amount of money we owe them. So let's think of this, because like that national debt, it's big. As a country, we've been lucky because our interest rates have been so low because of the federal funds rate and just the rates on these treasuries that it's easier for us to repay the debt because rates are so low. But what happens when rates go up? Okay, which means all of a sudden now that debt gets much more expensive for our country.
You know, absolutely. I mean, just by taking demand away from that debt is going to have some pressure on the rates as well. That would likely push up, and that's going to put stresses on a variety of areas. So that's another major league question mark that's out there. And you know, so that's something we could go deeper into. But there's also a few other stresses that I'd like to touch on as well. That's more of a long range thing. And Harry Dent, a gentleman that I subscribe to quite a bit, his latest book is actually called The Demographic Cliff. And so what it highlights is the buying behavior of the largest generation and the baby boomers.
Right.
And
by far the largest generation.
By far. And so what Dent's known as being able to identify exactly when you're going to buy the most potato chips in your life. And that's actually age 42 to 43, by the way.
Okay.
And so his argument as it pertains to real estate, the field that I'm most interested in right now, is that we've got the baby boomer generation that they're moving out of their home, whether it be for a long-term care facility or if they're passing on. But the thing is, their property is still sustained. It's still there. So the supply is still there. And then the next two generations, they're not going to have as much demand because, frankly, the population isn't there.
Right. Yeah, Gen X and Gen Y are much smaller populations. The millennials are pretty big again.
Right.
But they're ways down the road from buying those baby boomer homes.
Right. And so, and they even speak to more of the sharing mentality with that as well, which how does that go ahead and contribute into the real estate market? You know, and the other thing around that we're seeing is that what's going to happen to that demand? Should our expectations of the consistent 3-4% appreciation for real estate, should that really be expected in certain markets as a generalization if we know that these demand issues could be on the horizon?
Right. It may be tough to sustain. And in case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're speaking with John Sprague, leading real estate economist for the St. Louis area, having a high-level conversation about how are we going to predict the next downturn in the market. We don't know when it's going to be, but we know at some point there's always a downturn. There's always a shift in the market, and how can we position ourselves to be able to take advantage of that? So, John, as we talk about all these different indicators, okay, there's lagging indicators and there's leading indicators. Sure. And it's always interesting when we look at this because in retrospect, all of those things become very apparent. Okay, when we look at what is it that crashed the economy back, 10 years ago, well, you know, there was a, the lending was a big part of it. We know that. We know there was a lot of irrational exuberance among buyers that were out there. There was too much money that flowed into real estate where it was a bubble that was created.
Correct.
Do you see much of a bubble being created now?
You know, and that's where I had the biggest question mark, because I think fundamentally on a local level, we happen to be quite a bit more sound as far as real estate's concerned. And only until you start looking at these larger macro domestic stresses and global stresses, you start realizing that this could be a very real factor, a very real issue. So I'd say to answer that, fundamentally, I think that we're pretty appropriate. And when you're asking about the indicators, there's a few indicators that we can look at on the more formal level.
All right. So what would some of those indicators be that you could think of?
Well, I mean, I think outside of real estate, I think one of the first things we want to look at is the GDP. We want to see the gross domestic product. And we know growth is going to lead to more investment in infrastructure and jobs. And that's really what I care about in the real estate world. We were just talking about that. When there's jobs, people have confidence and they're willing to buy.
Right.
And they're willing to buy real estate.
Right. There was no, there's no mystery to the fact that when unemployment rates spiked, that, you know, real estate prices crashed.
Yeah. And so, you know, the second area there is jobs, you know, so the unemployment rate is something that I'm very sensitive to. And yet we continue to grow. The growth is slowing.
Okay. So John, I want to continue this conversation when we return, because I want to let our listeners really glean, how are they going to take advantage of this and how are they going to prepare themselves to be in the best position if this market does take a downturn at some point in the future? You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.